This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
And guess what? Three straight wins, a 109-90 victory in Detroit.
Things are happening here with the Knicks. Last time they were here was 2013. Chris, what were you doing in 2013?
Getting ready to start my first season with the Baltimore Ravens, Dave.
You weren't doing radio yet, were you, Rick?
No, I think I may have been sharing a bed with Cassie and her mother, Charlotte, right around then.
And you had to turn over and your mother-in-law was just lying there?
To the right, yeah. Like,
so the mother-in-law was on the far side. You didn't
far side,
like
yeah.
You were in the middle there.
Exactly.
I
want to get overly handsy at night.
Imagine you turn the wrong way. Oops, sorry.
This is DCR.
That could get uncomfortable, yeah.
Didn't realize you were there. Sorry about that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
And you know what, Santiago? You're the worst of anybody because you play to him. This is the problem. Nobody, and this is why people don't like me, because I'm honest and I'll say no. He didn't go to Harvard. Why are you playing the Harvard fight song?
Yeah, play it up. Why not?
Oh, come
listen,
on.
Listen, we all know what the deal is with Harvard. You don't have to repeat it over and over. Oh, you didn't go to Harvard. We all know. If he wants to continue to fake claim Harvard, that's fine. It's entertaining. Oh. It's good for the show.
Fake claim Harvard.
How dare you fake claim.
And for that reason, I'll be happy to play him the fight song.
So you're more mocking him and taunting him than anything else.
I'm giving him what he asked for. Mm-hmm. He did ask for this, so
he certainly did.
It is. Seems right. It seems fair. I mean, I did get in. I mean, I was asked to go to Harvard. I just said, you know what? I'm going to pass.
I mean, it's like a whining child saying, like, I want grilled cheese. And you're like, fine, here's your grilled cheese.
You have to pick and choose when you give the whining child, you know, what he wants.
So
you're not always going to say yes, but you will say yes once or twice here.
So you're placating is what you're doing.
I mean, if that's what you want to call it.
I'll call it that.
Well, Dave, this isn't like you decide not to go to DeVry and go into NYIT. I mean, this is hard.
NYIT is a perfectly good school, by the way.
Yeah, but it's not
shots
like,
is horrendous.
I mean, you said no to Phoenix. I mean, that's what you did. I said no to Harvard. I was like, no, I'll pass. I'm good.
Who says no to Harvard? Who says no to Harvard?
Apparently, this
great doesn't. Question. Great question.
People don't say no to Harvard. Harvard says
I
no
had
to people.
I had no choice. I had no choice. I had to say no. Coach lied. What do you want me to tell you?
Doesn't matter.
Mother is still not over
Harvard.
Cheryl, a.k.a. Mickey Rourke, is still not over it to this day.
Well, I wouldn't think she would. She could have gone into the beauty salon and, oh, Betty, where does your son go to college? Oh, my son goes to Columbia. Oh, that's a sweet little school. Where does your son go? Harvard. You took that away from her.
I know I did.
Rico, if you would have went to Harvard, you could have got in with the Facebook guys, man. A little
that's
Zuckerberg
right.
action.
I think you and Zuckerberg would have been really tight.
He would have been tight with the Winklevoss twins.
I think the Winklevoss twins. Those are bad guys. You would have made fun of Zuckerberg to the point that we wouldn't even have Facebook now.
No, I don't think that. What kind of guy do you think I am? That just walk around making fun of people? I'm
think
a very nice guy.
You can have that tendency.
I think he makes fun of himself, or he prefers to make fun of himself more than anybody else.
But I think he would make fun of Zuckerberg would probably be an easy target.
Which would drive Zuckerberg to make Facebook. Because
or
it would
maybe
feel like he needs more friends.
Maybe it would drive him to not do Facebook, and we wouldn't have this right now.
Yeah, don't show my Facebook.
Right?
Because Rick makes fun of my face. No, I would never make fun of
Rick makes fun of me,
people.
So there's no
Stop
Facebook.
It. Don't give the audience the wrong impression. I make fun of people that I love and care for.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
You would have loved Mark.
Well, maybe he would have been, listen, maybe we would have been best buddies. Who knows?
Who knows?
Best buddies?
Right.
Invest in that rather than the alpacas?
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, man.
You know what's the worst, too? And this is why I love coaching so much is because you make relationships like with, you know, obviously with the kids that you're coaching, but then like the parents too are all great people. So they think it's funny. They listen to, you know, the show religiously. So the other day I'm at the rink, they give me, because I haven't seen them, they give me a Christmas present, which is like, oh, come on, please. You don't have to do that. So like wait till you open it before you say thank you. So I opened it the other day after it goes through the whole contamination process with Cassie. They bought me an alpaca game. They're mocking me.
So they're mocking you.
They mock
so you got Santiago mocking you. You got your players mocking you. Everyone is mocking you. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. You can't mock where the Knicks are right now. And we won't. Let's get to some callers. Let's go to Andre in Westchester. Good morning, Andre.
Gentlemen, grateful again for the call. My question with the Knicks is sometimes, right now, these are Tibbs kids.
And, you know, sometimes you get a veteran on this. Some of these veterans may not, you know, welcome the defensive approach. Because right now this team is giving you that old 90s hardcore defense feel for it. And these kids got some chips on their shoulders from last year's squad. So unless you get in a second-tier person that's got waved off the team or a strong defensive front, because I agree with you about Mitch, if you get a nice, like, a Drummond or someone to come in there, close out the year, maybe a better option to keep some of that core and then next year try to go for a second-tier free agent that may not make it on one of these major teams. You know, because this, like I said, you got to look at the formula we have here and the kids that are committed to Tibbs' approach versus what a veteran might be adhered to. Thank you for taking my call once again.
I understand what he's saying. And again, I think it goes back to, you know, one of the previous calls that talked about the chemistry. And as a Knicks fan, yeah, I mean, you absolutely 1,000% love what you see, how much fun they're having, how they've bought in. But at a certain point, to take that next step, you're going to need to add another star to this team.
This team can only go so far. They're 18-17, and we're pretty impressed that they're above 500. And realistically, RJ just asked us the question, can they finish in a top six seed? And we all said, it's probably pretty unlikely. So in order to get to where you'd like to see them get to this year, they're going to have to add another piece. Otherwise, they probably won't.
Well, Dave, it's a star-driven league, right? I mean, you have to have stars in order to win at the highest levels of the sport. Like, you're not competing for a championship with a lot of homegrown guys. Like, typically it takes you being able to develop talent and then using that talent as resources, as trade chips, in order to bring back superstars. Like, that's essentially what most NBA teams do. Like, it's in free agency, and it's trading for stars. I mean, that's how you get to the point where you build a roster where you can win a championship. Or at least in the LeBron era, LeBron James era of the NBA, that's how it's done.
And the only thing you have close to a star right now is Julius Randle. And who knows how long he continues to play like this. I mean, you like him, but is he a star player? You need other pieces to go along with him. Steven and Queens. Steve, you're next up.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
All right, so Stephen Bondy from the New York Daily News last night reported that Tom Thibodeau could possibly be open to a Carl Anthony Towns reunion. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. That makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, I don't think that relationship had a great ending to it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess.
But if he'd be willing to bring him back into the mix, you have to figure that it's salvageable, no?
Well, I understand that. I mean, it's easy to say that, and then all of a sudden you get back into it, and Thibs is as demanding as he is. I don't know. That would concern me a little bit. He's a great player. I mean, he's definitely a great player, but that would concern me. I think you need more something along the lines of a Bradley Beal than a Carl Anthony Towns.
I would agree with that.
That's what would – I mean, that for me, especially when you see this team late in games where they do have the tendency against good teams, not against Detroit, but against good teams to struggle a little bit to finish these games. I mean, that's – to have someone like Brad Beal or someone like that down the stretch would be huge.
He's so efficient, too. Like, you look and he scores 35 on 18 shots or 46. How many shots did he take? Not a ton last night. Like, he plays hard. Efficient every night.
And he plays hard. And if he's, I mean, if you want to take him for face value, what he says that he wants to win, then, I mean, Thibs is showing you right now he can win. So I'd have a hard time believing if you traded for Brad Beal that he wouldn't buy into what Thibs was trying to sell him.
Completely agree.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And thanks a lot for this. Matt, I got hammered this weekend because Sherry's like, would you? And I'm dumb because I didn't even lie about it because I'm too honest. And that's why Kay doesn't like me. I'm too honest. She says, if I asked you to go get pizza like an hour and 15 minutes away, would you go? I was like, no. There's no chance that I would go. She's like, see? And I was like, see what? It's ridiculous. I said, we have beautiful pizza right here. I go 10 minutes away and get your pizza. Why would I go an hour and a half away?
Like that kind of. I'm with you, though, Dave. As a practical matter, why do I have to drive 2 hours round trip to get you pizza?
And I said, on the flip side, I would never, ever ask you to go get me pizza from 2 hours or an hour and a half away. So I wouldn't expect you to ask me.
But what is it about women that want you to just stretch more than you have to? What is it about them?
Like, feels like it's just always a test.
Squirm a little bit. I don't get that.
It's always a test.
But why? I don't test it. I don't test my lady. I don't understand why she feels the need to test me. It just doesn't make sense.
They would just sleep.
I don't know.
Well, because she has what you want. And women could be like, they don't really necessarily need it like we need it.
Okay.
This is why you're willing to drive 3 hours.
So, Chris, here's my question for you. That's like bribery. You're being held hostage.
Right, it is.
It is.
It is. It is.
No, it's greasing the skids is what it is.
I mean, you'll go anywhere. She could. I wonder how far you go. Rick, I want you to go around on all fours all day. Okay, sure. I've always wanted that.
I can't even get down on all fours. She knows my limitations. I can't even get down on all fours. It's impossible.
So, Chris, where were the bigger schools that you were offered by the way?
Boston College.
Uh-huh.
Wake Forest. And I wasn't offered, but I didn't, NC State was really interested. They wanted me to go there, but yeah, those would be the schools.
So ACC loved you.
ACC loved me. Well, I had family that played in the conference, so I was kind of known, but, it's kind of strange. Like I wouldn't claim to have gone to any of those schools.
No, because would be,
well, that, here's well admittedly, but none, went, of, those they schools, none looking, of those schools are Harvard either, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
right.
A little looking, bit different.
They were looking for football. It was academics first with me. And then
there'd be no cancer if you had gone to Harvard, right?
You had
right?
your dad doing papers for you, Rico.
Well, and that was poorly, by the way.
Awful. He's terrible. Awful student. Awful. Getting D's. Embarrass himself.
He's not supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
the
fact that
about?
You're annoyed at him for doing it and getting a D really shows how broken, in fact, you are.
Well, if he's going to offer his services, then at least do the right work.
Glad the Crimson didn't know about that.
Well, that's not going to fly with the Crimson.
No, of course not.
I'd probably moonlight on the row team, too. Do a little rowing. Just to fit in with the guy, to fit in.
Oh, yeah. You look like you could row.
Well, how could I not row? It's all upper body. It has nothing. Well, no, there's leg involved, too.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what?
Good point. You're right. I take that back. I probably could not be. I would not be a good rower at this point. If they had an elliptical team.
An elliptical team.
I would crush it.
You could have started the elliptical team at Harvard.
Be all conference.
Yes.
All conference.
All world.
They'd probably show it on ESPN before they showed the NHL, I'll tell you that.
Cornholing, ellipticaling, yeah, all those kind of things.
Next on ESPN2, no NHL. We're going to show the elliptical.
Harvard's elliptical team launched by one Rick DiPietro. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCR. Kendrick Perkins is going to join us in about 15 minutes of PRV, the Goodyear hotline. So we posed a question earlier today. If both teams played at the same time, which one would you watch, the Knicks or the Nets? Any guess of where the poll sits right now, Chris?
Oh, yeah, it's overwhelmingly in the Knicks' favor. Has to be.
Rick, what do you think?
I love how you ask Canty as if Canty hasn't already checked what the poll actually says.
I don't know that he's checked.
Well, no, I voted about a half hour ago. So,
yeah, I don't know that he's checked.
Yeah,
always
check
assume
whatever question.
This is why I love Canty, because you could never criticize Canty for not being prepared. Anything you could potentially throw at Canty question wise, he already has studied and knows the answer to.
Chris, be honest. Are you looking right now at the poll?
I am not. I'm actually
right,
looking
so,
at.
So I don't think he's looking.
Salary caps.
Hey, see, just in case you ask him a salary cap question, but he didn't vote, so he knows that when he voted, the New York Knicks had a humongous lead over the Nets.
And
seemingly insurmountable.
Yeah, you are correct. It is 70% to 30% right now. People would choose to watch the Knicks game.
I don't know. If I was not a Knicks fan, if I was just an NBA fan,
right?
I don't know how you don't vote to watch the Nets.
There's something very special about this Knicks team.
Because you're emotionally attached to it. You're a fan
but you
of
know
the
what?
Knicks.
But the Knicks stink. Like you look at the Knicks roster right now, and should they be above 500?
Probably not. They're overachieving, Dave. But I guess that speaks to your point, right? There's a level of intrigue with the Knicks just because there is no margin for error with the Nets. It's like they're going to win most nights. Like it's a story only if the Nets lose. That's not going to happen very often. You know what I mean? But with the Knicks, like. You know, you're paying attention to it because a lot of fans are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, a lot of fans don't want to believe what they're seeing with their team right now, especially based on what this team was projected to be coming into this season.
The Nets are not going to spiral out of control. The Knicks could spiral out of control at any moment.
Yeah, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that at all.
I don't feel spiral either.
No, I don't feel like that at all about either team.
Well, the Nets are great.
Yeah, the Nets are going to be there. But I think the Knicks are going to be a solid team. The Knicks are going to be, again, barring catastrophe in the way of injury, the Knicks will be a playoff team. They will.
Music. Brian Wayne. Brian, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So 2 points here. I mean, for someone that was supposed to be the most ready to play in the league. I mean, I don't mind Toppin being in the dunk contest. I mean, I just get something out of him. I doubt it'll Aaron Judge the second half of his season. And two, I mean, the negativity, I mean, Carla and Michael, like, don't get your hopes up with the Knicks. I mean, that's part about being a fan. I mean, you got to get your hopes up. You got to feel good about it. And at the end of the day, I mean, the great teams, I mean, let's look at Golden State. It took them, what, 3 years before they won the championship after all them playing together? I mean, can this happen? Look in the bubble, the Heat. They made it to the finals. What are they this year? I mean, it just takes a group of guys to be committed, to click. And I don't really think a star right now, let them all play now. Yes, could they get them over the hump? But you could say that for every team that doesn't win it that year. Let these guys play. Let them keep bringing some more, you know, attention back to the Garden. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if I would use the – I mean, the Heat are also a really well-coached team, but I mean –
Well, they're also very talented. They also,
very talented team.
Adebayo's terrific, and Dragic is excellent, and Jimmy Butler's an assassin. I mean, yeah. Come on. You can't compare.
No, but I get what he's saying, and that's what you're building towards.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, Jimmy Butler is a star. He's not on – I wouldn't put him on, like, a Kevin Durant kind of laser.
No, but he's that second tier of star in the NBA.
Jimmy Butler is a top 15 player in the NBA.
My only issue is I don't know if like you tell me who's going to emerge as someone as good as like Bam Adebayo. I mean, he emerged into what you see now.
Yes.
You don't have anybody like that.
No.
You're the Knicks.
You see, that's why I agree with that. I don't see that.
I don't see anybody right now that's on that Tyler Hero level, especially not the guy that we saw in the bubble.
How about Dragic? Until he got hurt, he's a terrific
point
guard.
They have three all-stars. Jimmy Butler, Adebayo, Dragic. They're all-stars. The Knicks have one guy. They have one guy right now.
They got Duncan Robinson. You got none. Yeah, I mean, that's a good team.
That's a good team.
Tyler Hero was great in the postseason last year.
I mean, that's what you're striving to be, is a team like that.
Let's go to Jeff in Madison. Jeff, you're next up, my man.
What's up, boys? How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I'm great. Listen, my thing is, this is what we do as a franchise. What you're talking about doing, trading for Beal, we package everything that we possibly have that can turn to anything positive, and we get a guy, and then we're stuck with two guys. And I'm not saying that Bradley Beal's not incredible. He is. But the reality is, this is what we do. We sacrifice a potential long-term game for a short-term game.
Brad Beal is long-term.
I wouldn't wait until the offseason.
But Washington might not wait. The opportunity might not be there for you. Washington might not wait.
You don't need Beal. But I agree with you, but you don't need Beal. You got free agents that are going to hit the open market like at Oladipo, where you keep everything you have and your draft picks, and you put Oladipo on the team. You're not going to
Victor Oladipo is not on the same level as Bradley Beal. Jeff, in all fairness. Victor Oladipo, I get what you're saying. Like, you would save the assets because you wouldn't have to trade for him, but he's not on the same level as Bradley Beal.
I could have two all-star players and one of them that's leading the league in scoring. I could have both of those guys on my team and they would be under the age of 28. I could have both of those guys. So we keep talking about long-term. How long-term do you need? If you got 4 or 5 years with those two guys together, there's no telling what Leon Rose in that front office could build with those two guys.
And
as
you don't think that's
pieces.
Attractive to other players?
Of course it is.
You think if you have Randall, you have Bradley Beal, and you have Thibodeau, and you have Quickly, that all of a sudden you're not a much more attractive team if a legitimate free agent becomes available?
Dave, you got to explain to me, how long-term do you need in the NBA? Like, how long do you need as a Knicks fan? Do you need a decades-long window?
Randall is 26. Beal is 27. What are we talking about here?
I don't understand it. But they said they don't want to sacrifice, you know, the opportunity for the long-term upside of R.J. Barrett or Mitchell Robinson.
The Knicks fan has been beaten up so much over the years that they are very, very gun-shy.
But, Dave, open your eyes, Dave. Open your eyes. Brad Beal is leading the league in scoring, and this guy has been an all-star. Like, he is a really, really good basketball. Right now, he is a top-10 player in the world, and you could have the potential opportunity to trade for him.
He's a great player.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Have you guys seen the new NBA power rankings, by the way?
I have not, Dave.
Beautiful. All right, now we can put him on the spot. He hasn't seen him, Rick. Where do you think the Knicks fit in on the power rankings? Take a minute. I want to rush you. Take a moment. Rick, you as well. I'll tell you, Utah is 1, 27-7. Lakers, 2, 24-11. Nets are 3, at 22-13. That moves them up from 4-3 from last week to this. Clippers are 4. They had been 2, but they had a couple losses this week, so they fall down to 4. Bucks are 5.
Let me know when you're ready for me to guess, Dave.
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to say the Knicks are 17th in the rankings.
Rick, what do you say?
I would say somewhere right around the middle of the pack. I would say Chris said 17. I'll go 15th.
You'd win. 14th.
Ooh. Nice.
14th.
Nice.
I'll take it.
How good is that, huh?
No, that's great.
It's gorgeous.
What you thought?
I thought they were going to win 21 games this year.
Because no one thought Julius Randle was going to turn to what Julius Randle is right now.
Mm-hmm. He stunk last year.
He was bad. But, I mean, here's the thing. And I'm not going to hold this against you because when I pressed you to jump on the boat, me and Omar pressed you, you got on the boat. But to all the frauds, and he knows who I'm – he's listening to the show right now, I'm sure, knows who I'm talking about, that all of a sudden now he decides he wants to jump on the boat with us.
I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship.
Someone's late to the boat?
Oh, yeah. I'll call him. I'll call him. All of a sudden he's not – okay, I'm on the boat now. You can't all of a sudden now decide
well, you now you
to jump
can't
on
get
the
on the
boat. Boat's full.
Sorry.
Weight limit.
He must love a boat, though. Don't you think?
The boat don't love him, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
We're going on a boat. We're going on a boat.
Shots fired.
Wow.
It's like a Tommy Boy situation.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Eli. What a name, Eli, in Manhattan. Eli, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, man? I just want to say a couple of things. If I was the next, I wouldn't trade nobody. I let them play out and see what happened, because every time the Knicks start playing good or get in a good groove, it's always talking about trade. I wouldn't trade nobody. I let it go like it's going. If we make the playoffs, good. If we don't, see what we got for next year and then start from there. Thank you.
What I don't understand, guys, is if you can make your team considerably better and be young while you do it, and have optimism for the next God knows how many years, why would you not do it? Like, I'm missing the point.
I can tell you what's going to happen. Let's let this play out. Here's what's going to happen. Because I'm not going to say when. I'm going to say if.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If they get to the playoffs and get in a legitimate series, they're going to lose in the first round. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely it will.
They'll fight hard, but that's what's going to happen. Here's what I don't understand. We keep talking about how, you know, the Knicks need to build themselves up to the point where the Brooklyn Nets did, so all of a sudden they become attractive. The Brooklyn Nets were attractive, so KD and Kyrie signed as free agents, so you didn't give anything up. But the second the opportunity came to add James Harden, what did they do?
They traded everybody.
So one way or another, like in free agency, that's great. But you're going to, like, in order to get somebody like a Bradley Beal, you're going to have to trade some pieces that you like to make this team all of a sudden now where you have two stars more attractive when you do get to free agency to get that third piece that you need. Right? Wouldn't that make you more?
I couldn't agree with you more. I don't understand this. Now, if you said that they wanted Barrett, Randall, Quickly, picks, yeah, I'm not just going to make a trade to make a trade. But if it's within reason and I can build around Randall and Bradley Beal and Quickly, you know what? I'm going to move forward and probably make that trade.
Yeah, if we're talking picks, I mean, if you're still keeping, and again, I don't know what the parameters of the deal look like, but I mean, you'd have to keep Randall because otherwise it makes no sense.
Yeah.
I'm keeping Quickly. And now if you want to talk about Barrett or Mitchell Robinson and some picks and finding a way to make the money work, then I would listen. Because now all of a sudden you go into free agency with Julius Randle and Brad Beal. If I'm a free agent looking to go somewhere where they're getting close.
It's attractive.
The Knicks would be attractive.
Yeah, there's no question about it in my mind, man. Like, if you can do that deal and keep Julius Randle, if it costs you R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, and pick swaps,
yep.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I just don't understand when we start talking about making sure that you don't sacrifice short-term gain for long-term stability and a potential upside of these young players. I mean, Brad Beal and Julius Randle are relatively young players. Like, you'll have a window of 5 or 6 seasons once you sign those guys to extensions where your team can compete. I just don't understand what the down, like Rick said earlier, I don't get what the downside of a move like that would be.
Because they're gun shy is the truth. Let's go to George and Elizabeth real quick. George, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi, how you doing, fellas? Good morning. Listen, you're right. We are gun shy. I went through the old grandma mom thing and trading and all these trades and never got us a championship. Bradley Beal is good. He had one of the best point guards in NBA history with him, and they couldn't get it done. Bradley Beal is not a top first or second tier player. He's a third tier player, a really good one, but third tier player.
Brad Beal is an all NBA player. Brad Beal is an all, NBA player.
At this current moment, yes, he is. But he is no Zion and players like that could transform your entire franchise. He's a good piece you could stick in there. You understand what I'm saying? 2 years ago, you guys weren't thinking, you didn't think that he was better than Oladipo 2 years ago. You know, so I just think we should stay the course. You know, we're going to get knocked out in the first round with or without Bradley Beal.
George, we got to run. You're crazy. Wrong. You know what? It's the perfect time to bring in Kendrick Perkins to help us analyze this. The real KP joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Kendrick, we've had the conversation, and thanks so much for a couple minutes, all morning and for weeks, really. If you're the Knicks, do you try to make a real aggressive play for Bradley Beal? The three of us on this show say absolutely. A lot of Knicks fans say, don't want to mess with the chemistry of this team right now. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't, and I appreciate y'all having me on, but, you know, Bradley Beal seems like he don't want to be traded. I think he want to ride it out. And by the way, I think he want to get that Supermax, so it's going to be hard for them to get Bradley Beal anyway. But right now, look, the Knicks are moving in the right direction. You know, they drafted well. They did well in free agency. And right now they have a young nucleus and a young core and a young stud and Julius Randle, who's a first-time All-Star. They're moving in the right direction. I wouldn't force anything right now. I wouldn't mess up their chemistry, their flow, the way that they go, what they have going. Here's the thing: if you trade for Bradley Beal, what are your expectations when you get Bradley Beal for this season? Are you going to get to the finals? Are you going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Not really. Not how the East is constructed right now with the Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Philadelphia 76ers. So if I'm New York, I stand pat. I got a team that I know is playing well, that is on the verge of making the playoffs. Will they make it out of the first round? Probably not. I wouldn't, but they could, you know, impose their will and shock some people and make it to the second round. But trading for Bradley Beal doesn't move the needle for the Knicks, meaning it doesn't move it to the level of it makes them a contender. So I wouldn't mess with the chemistry at all. I would leave everything the way it is. And by the way, who said that Tom Thibodeau wasn't the right fit? I heard a lot of people saying that when they hired him. Oh, he's going to run guys into the ground. No, Tom Thibodeau got these guys committed on the defensive end, and he had 2 years to think about how to take a step back and reevaluate himself and know that this is a new generation. And what we're witnessing is he's letting these guys do what they do on the offensive end and rock out like Derrick Rose and the rookie quickly. They're having phenomenal years, both for them, along with Julius Randle. So, no, I wouldn't trade for Bradley Beal right now.
Yeah, but Perk, you understand the fear. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan. Dave's a Knicks fan. The fear is that, you know, all of a sudden we get to free agency and we have more of the same as Knicks fans, where no one wants to take our money. No one wants to be a New York Knick. Do you think, with what you've seen so far with this Knicks team and Thibodeau as the coach, that may change here moving forward, that this will be a desirable place to come sign?
Absolutely. Look, it would have been a desirable place to sign if Leon Rose and World Wide West would have been there during the free agency when Kyrie and Kevin Durant was up, when they were making their decision. So right now the Knicks look like the Knicks of kind of the old. They look like a attractive place where I wouldn't out in the free agency market. I would see guys wanting to go play there. Derrick Rose, a guy that's towards the end of his career, in my opinion, still got some basketball left in him. He could have asked to be traded anywhere from Detroit. He could have went to a contender like the Clippers, maybe the Lakers, anywhere, you know, to try to win him a championship. But he chose to go play with New York because he loved the direction that they're going in. He watched their team, and he loved what Tom Thibodeau is doing.
Big Perk, should James Harden be in the MVP conversation after what we've seen in his time with the Nets?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Matter of fact, right now, James Harden is the best player in the NBA. I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear it, but he is the best player in the NBA, the most complete player, and he's impacting the game in a variety of ways. When you look at him, yes, he's only averaging 25 points, but we all know he's capable of going for 30-plus. He didn't lead the league in scoring for three straight years. We know he's a walking bucket. But he's shooting a career-high 48%, almost 49% from the field. He's averaging 11 assists, averaging a career-high of 8.5 rebounds. And here's the thing. What made me see that, what made me open my eyes about James Harden is what he did on that West Coast trip. Going 5-0 majority of the time without Kevin Durant. Going into Phoenix, okay? Well, Phoenix had won 6 in a row at home, and they were down 21, and he didn't have KD or Kyrie. Go in there and pull out that win and had 38-11-7. Right now, James Harden is playing some of the best basketball that I've seen him play in his career.
So, Big Perk, let me follow that up. When Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving get back, who's the most important out of that big three to the Nets in competing for a championship?
Well, we all know that Kevin Durant is a walking bucket. We know he's going to do that. He's going to get buckets. So is Kyrie Irving. He's having a career year. But James Harden is that piece. James Harden is that facilitator. James Harden is the one that could actually get 11 assists, get the others going, like Jeff Green and Joe Harris and Brown and Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, and get his 25. So to me, the way that I love what Steve Nash and D'Antoni did, moving James Harden to the point guard, moving Kyrie to the two. So I'm saying that James Harden is the most important piece to the puzzle.
Kendrick Perkins with us here at 98.7 ESPN. So you said you'd probably stay away from a trade for Bradley Beal. If they do, and if this is the team that they go to battle with for the rest of the season, what can they be? Like, do you look at this team as a top 7 team in the Eastern Conference? Can they continue to play like this, or do you think there'd be a fall off in the second half of the season?
No, there's no drop off with them. You could tell by the chemistry. They have enough, but the most important thing is how committed they are on the defensive end. And I do see the Knicks finishing top 7 in the East for a standings, making it to the playoffs. And I could possibly see them taking the top seed to game 7. I could possibly see them upsetting the team just because the way that they play. By the way, Tom Thibodeau is getting the best out of R.J. Barrett right now. So the chemistry that they have, the commitment that they have finally starting to develop the key word, culture. So I don't see this falling off anytime soon, not this season.
So, Perk, forecasting forward for the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, Canty expects the Nets to be the team that comes out of the East. I think Dave feels the same way. If there were a team or two in the East that could stop that from happening, who would you point to?
Well, it would be the Bucks and Philly, but I don't feel like the Nets are the clear-cut favorite to coming out of the Eastern Conference. I feel like it's the Philadelphia 76ers. They are a dangerous team, and they could match up with anybody in the league. And the way that Joel Embiid is playing right now, he's looking like a 275-pound Hakeem Olajuwon that have a little bit more drip to his game. And you look at that roster and the way that it's constructed, you got Seth Curry, who's more than just a shooter. He's a flat-out baller. You have a spacer in Danny Green. And then you have Ben Simmons, who's finally starting to come along and find his niche in the offense, who I believe also will win Defensive Player of the Year the way that he sets the tone defensively. That game where he played against Luka Doncic, he had him in a straitjacket. And then you add Tobias Harris, who's having the best season of his career under Doc Rivers right now, who could have been an all-star. And their bench is pretty deep. Shake Milton, a guy that could erupt for big nights, and Dwight Howard is still having a great impact. So they have leadership, they have a great coach, they have enough star power, and they're committed on the defensive end. And that's one team that I could see really beating the Nets and coming out of the East. They're actually my favorite.
Big fella, with that Sixers team, I think one of the things that a lot of people ask the question about, because so many games in the playoffs come down to those final 5 minutes and the guy that closes out that game. With the Nets, it doesn't really feel like there's any question. They got three guys that can close games. With the Bucks and with the Sixers in particular, like, the question is, who is going to be the closer on that team? In your eyes, who is that guy?
It's Joel Embiid. It's no doubt for the Philadelphia 76ers, no doubt in my mind. You could put the ball in his hands, and the way that he's able to take you on the low block to the mid post to the three-point range, he has the complete package. And then Tobias Harris is not a bad guy. He's also a guy that is capable of knocking down big shots, and so is Seth Curry. But Joel Embiid is the 76ers closer. And when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, last night Giannis showed me a lot in that fourth quarter against the stingy L.A. Clippers team. He showed me he would not be denied. And Chris Middleton, a guy that's, you know, having another phenomenal year, almost, you know, in that 50, 40, 90 club, who has been doing great down the stretch, who has a lot to his game that he don't get credit for. And then you had a Drew Holiday, who I feel like is one of the most underrated players in today's game. Yesterday, he had an off night because he had been battling with COVID his first game back. We don't know how long it would take for him to get his legs back, but look, I'm telling you, the Brooklyn Nets, they know that they have their hands full. And going against both of those teams, that will be a fun series. And either one of those three teams will come out of these, but I still got Philly.
All right. Well, the NBA fan certainly will be the big winner at the end of the day here. Kendrick, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks so much. We enjoy you on TV and all your work. Good stuff.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. All right, time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune that out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. If I was still a gambling man, I would have challenged him to like a big wager there. Said, I get Brooklyn, you get the 76ers, and let's put our money to the middle of the table. But I don't do that anymore.
You should have. And we would back up the show.
Rico, that wasn't going to work out for Dave.
No, we back him up. We'll be his money guys.
No.
If you'd be my money guys, I'd do it. But it'd be smart for all. I mean, listen, Vegas is saying that we would get the better of that deal. Brooklyn is far superior odds-wise than Philadelphia is right now.
So you should have pulled the trigger. I mean, listen.
But I can't do that. I get in trouble. I go upstairs and my wife will look at me cross-eyed. No. How dare you gamble our money away?
No, if you lost, like we would have picked you up and then you could have paid us back in installments. Didn't that be crazy? Didn't that be nothing crazy? He lost Philly. I told you that would be the one team. That would be the one team.
I agree with you. That's the one team. But they're not beating the Nets.
No, they're not beating the Nets. I know he said Joel Embiid would be the guy to close games. I'm skeptical of that. Like, I just don't think a big man can be that dude, especially if you're down in a ball game.
He does make his free throws, though, too.
I get it, Rico, but usually when you start talking about a closer in today's NBA, it's got to be a guy that's a primary ball handler.
The Nets have three.
The Nets have three.
It's amazing. Let's go to Mel in Queens. Mel, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, guys? Enjoying the show. Perkins pretty much said what I was saying before they put me on hold. I mean, what are you getting Bradley Beal for to move up one spot? If you really think about it, there's nobody on the Knicks that's comparable to Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal can't even figure it out in Washington. So when people say
that team doesn't play defense like the Knicks play defense, man. It's more than just having Russell Westbrook, who's on the back.
Washed up.
And the moving up one spot is unfair also. I look at if they got Bradley Beal, I think the Knicks are the 4 seed. I really do. And right now, you could argue they're going to wind up with the 8 or 9 seed.
Well, even the Knicks are the 4 seed, right? They can be the 4 seed or the 5 seed without Bradley Beal. And the Knicks can beat anybody in the first round without Bradley Beal. So even with Bradley Beal, they're not beating the Philadelphia 76ers. They're not beating the Nets. They're not beating the Bucks.
Hang on a second, Mel. You expect the Knicks as currently constituted to wind up as the 4th or 5th seed in the Eastern Conference?
Well, are they right now? If you look at the
I understand where they are right now. We went through the standings earlier. My question to you is, the way they're currently constituted, you expect them to be the fourth or the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference?
I can say yes, they can hold on to that fourth and fifth seed,
all right,
just like they're doing now.
And thanks for the call. I could not disagree with that more.
Here's the thing. If you're able to hold on to Julius Randle and make a trade for Brad Beal this year, you are absolutely a top five team in the East. There's no way you're not. No way possible. Now, I think that if you have to include Julius Randle, then it gets a lot more dicey, and I think you can make an argument to keep things the way that they are because you'd have more upside. But if you could pair Julius Randle with another all-star player, there's no way the Knicks are just a 7 or 8 seed. There's no way.
His name is being brought up because, I mean, first of all, he's leading the NBA in scoring, right? I mean, he's an all-star.
Like he scored 30 points at the drop of a hat.
He scored 46 last night, but he's on the cusp of being in that superstar conversation. And the fact that they've been talking about maybe moving on from Bradley Beal, it seems like a perfect opportunity to seize the moment, as opposed to if you wait, which a lot of Knicks fans, let's just wait, then I mean that door probably closes on you. If he gets dealt now, he's not going to be dealt again.
No,
you're not going to get him if he's dealt somewhere before the deadline. That's absolutely true. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And it is a Monday, Santy, which means we do run with the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
This one's going to go to RJ because he's opening my eyes to the whole wedding planning thing. And that thing about the flowers really stands out to me. It's like there are mistakes that I want to learn from people. But if we can stop RJ from making the mistake before he makes the mistake, I'm really scared about this is all. I'm stammering here, but I just want to say that I'm kind of scared about it and I want to learn.
Number two.
What was that?
We're here for you. Any questions you have? I wouldn't ask Dave because I don't think he participated.
Why?
But
I went through every single step of the wedding. Every step.
So you say. Anyway, moving on to number two.
You know what? I'm sick of the both of you.
Here, well, you're going to be really sick of this one.
Dave Rothenberg, keep my name out of your mouth, okay? He's a jealous mule. That's what he is.
Michael K for that gold.
Number one.
He's dead to me, too.
Number one's going to be the New York Knicks and Kendrick Perkins for Drop the Truth. Hey, whatever you want to say about whatever they can accomplish in the playoffs as a 4 seed. As of right now, the New York Knicks are one game over 500, and they're in
fourth place! Fourth place!
Let's go, Knicks.
That was a very nice 3 stars done by you, by the way. Excellent work.
I bet you don't even know what kind of flowers you had for your wedding.
I don't now, but I did then.
You don't know now. See, that's
17 years ago. I remember the florist we used.
Well,
tell you that.
Well, what could I say? You remember the flowers.
I remember everything. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Don't plan a wedding like Dave. You listen to the DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.